Heirloom Jewelers on Facebook.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. An Alabama company has recalled tons of hot sausages because they may be contaminated with bits of metal. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says they have no reports of injuries from R.L. Ziegler sausages that were shipped nationwide from Selma. The recall affects chicken and pork sausage labeled as red hot. Some of them are also labeled extra hot. Montgomery police are investigating a stabbing. They say a man was stabbed in the 2400 block of Plum Street Tuesday afternoon. His injuries are not life-threatening. Police have not said what led to this incident. So far, no arrests have been made. And Alabama State University's marching band performed in the 130th Annual Tournament of Roses Parade in Pasadena, California. The Hornets were one of 20 college bands to perform this year. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
When severe weather threatens, you need the most experienced and trusted names in weather.
This is a dangerous storm located
here. That's why Blue Water Broadcasting's Rich Thomas Weather Network and the Alabama News Network have teamed up to bring you the most comprehensive weather coverage in the river region.
Horses have been evacuated, so people are in
the river region's most experienced meteorologist, Rich Thomas.
And moving northeast at 55.
Along with Shane Butler's decades of experience, the two most trusted names in weather, together on the Alabama News Network and all Blue Water radio stations.
The River Region's News Talk Station. News Talk 93.1, WACV. News Talk 93.1.
Four times in my life, America's been at war. That's a tragic waste of lives. And it makes you realize how desperately the world needs a lasting peace. Just across the hall here in the White House is the Roosevelt Room, named after the two Roosevelts who served here, one a Republican, one a Democrat. Many decisions are made in that room, and often as I meet with my staff, I gaze up at the five service flags, each representing one of the five military services, and draped from each flag are battle streamers, signifying every battle campaign fought since the Revolutionary War. Each ribbon a remembrance of a time when American men and women spilled their blood into the soil of distant lands. My fondest hope for this presidency is that the people of America give us the continued opportunity to pursue a peace so strong and so lasting that we'd never again have to add another streamer to those flags.
The Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM. Dan Morris Show in Wednesday. 272-9228. First time caller, since you're there. Joey, the producer, don't we'll get your name in for the drawing for the Fresh Market $50 gift card. $50 gift card from Fresh Market. And then any caller, yes, I did say any caller, can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. That gift basket, what's in it? It's anything that you put into it, up to $60. You can be the Dick Brubaker, put nothing but ice cream in there. You can be the Dan Morris, put the pecan bourbon pie in there along with the Cuban sandwich and then some good cake. Or you can be the Red Top, where you just put a cake in there and OD on it. You have so much chocolate. The Cuban sandwich is absolutely spectacular. Okay, let's get back into business here. Howard Kurtz, who is on Fox News, he does Media Matters on Fox News. Very interesting guy. He's a very good writer also. I try to read his a lot of his newsletter blog type stuff. But there was a former New York Times editor that has left, and she's got a book that just is about to come out. It hadn't been sent out yet. And she slams the New York Times. And the reason she slams it is because of their anti-Trump bias. And they're going to get into the workings of this. Would love to hear what you think.
Former executive editor of the New York Times, Jill Abramson, criticizing that newspaper in her upcoming book, calling the Times news coverage unmistakably anti-Trump. Let's bring in Howard Kurtz. She's not going to be making a lot of friends among her former colleagues at the New York Times with a lot of what she has to say in this book, Howie.
Absolutely not, John, but this is an extraordinary rebuke by Jill Abramson, the former executive editor, as you say. And she not only calls the news coverage unmistakably anti-Trump, she says the younger staff there, the woke staff members, as she puts it, are so concerned about what they see as the dangers of Trump's presidency that they want to throw out the old journalistic standards. She also says that given the paper's mostly liberal audience, there's a financial reward for the Times in running so many stories about Trump, almost all of them negative, and that is soaring traffic. So I think that while Jill Abramson is no fan of President Trump and still obviously loves the New York Times despite her firing 4 years ago, she is calling out the paper in no uncertain terms for the coverage of the president.
So she's doing this in a book. This is a pretty big step here. And what we're going to get into is that there's this built-in bias and obsession with Trump that starts showing up in their in their writing and articles, and what she is calling raw opinion. I totally agree with this analysis. This is exactly the type of things I point out to you guys, is that people get so entrenched in the way they believe that it starts showing up in everything that they're doing. They're calling themselves journalists, but really what they're doing is giving an opinion. You know, when you're listening to me, I'm giving you my opinion about a story. I'm playing the story for you. I'm letting you hear it. I'm talking about what you just heard and pointing out the different nuances and things that we hear out of it. So let's continue on with Howard Kurtz talking about this former New York Times editor.
Well, the president has said that he helps the New York Times, as he calls it, this is his quote, the failing New York Times, he helps them sell papers, and there is actually some evidence of that.
Yeah, no, the president, despite his war on what he calls the fake news media, actually rings cash registers for a lot of news outlets. In the case of the Times, in just the first 6 months of his presidency, digital subscriptions soared by 600,000 to a total of more than 2 million. It's undoubtedly higher today. But that doesn't necessarily mean you should program or you should practice your journalism in order to make more money when it comes to being fair. Now, some may say this is sour grapes on the part of Jill Abramson because she's criticizing her successor, Dean Baquet, who was her managing editor, who played a role in her firing. Mm-hmm. But there are times in this book, Merchants of Truth, where she praises Baquet. And I think she's just, you know, taking a step back and saying, hey, if you're constantly running stories that are anti-Trump, you're going to be perceived that way. And in some cases, she says the news pages are just peddling raw opinion.
And they are.
Yes.
And we know that. We see that all the time on the show. But for a New York Times former editor to say that, and see, you know, she's cut her ties with them, left, she's writing a book that actually may be very popular among two different types of circles. One more of the I don't like the media type folks, and you're hearing from a media person talking about the, you know, you're going to get into the redemption factor in here. And then those people that don't necessarily, you know, we used to say, you tolerate the New York Times. You don't like the New York Times.
Right.
You tolerate it. And what Roger Stone would say is that it's all the news that's fit to print with a liberal tint.
Well, and it's, I don't know. For instance, last week I shared a story from the New York Times. It was fantastic, but it had nothing to do with politics. It had to do with a guy traversing Antarctica for the first time in human history without aid of
wind power. Oh, yeah. I saw the story.
Colin O'Brady, young 33-year-old American. Incredible story. And the New York Times has all sorts of great stories on stuff like that, lifestyle stories, you know, literature, whatever. Something's happened with the news, and I'm sure you've seen this, Dan, where when we say news, it's almost synonymous with political punditry, which obviously that's what we do every day. So it's not like I'm down on political punditry. It's just that the New York Times, the first thing you shouldn't think is a type of political punditry that's against the president. That will probably not be good going forward, though it does seem to help the bottom line in the short term, because Trump plays a beautiful bad guy to most of their readership. It's like, oh, yeah, so they might keep hitting that, you know, spot.
Well, when I used to read the New York Times, and what we had in the White House is we had something called Friday Follies, and it was a composition of all of these political cartoons from every newspaper around, and then you had a backup piece that had your daily newspaper briefing. Hmm. So we would get this, they would go in and cut up the articles that they felt you needed to read, and you would print that out every single day, and you could go through it real fast, and then they had Friday Follies. You're absolutely right on one thing that New York Times does. If they're doing a piece about somebody, or whether alive, dead, historic, current, coming up, whatever, they do an incredible job.
Yeah.
For example, they would write pieces about the theater, and you would get these background pieces about the theater, and so when you went to go see that show, you felt differently about the person who was playing, for example, in Cats.
Yes.
And that they had had I remember this distinctly, here's one of the Cats players who had this birth defect on her legs, and and you wouldn't know it because she's in the Cat costume. But it was a very serious defect. But right. When you watched her and you had read the story, all of a sudden you looked at it completely differently. Or talking about different foods and restaurants and ethnicities and traditions. And they're great at that kind of stuff. Where they lose me is climate change or politics or things that have to do with economy that they just have got it wrong. They've just got it wrong. That's where I break with New York Times and also the Washington Post during that time. But the Friday Follies was really funny. That we always look forward to that. So Howard Kurtz is going to be continuing on. And here's a truth. And that's why when I find these kind of stories, particularly that Howard Kurtz does or somebody is doing like this lady, is what is the truth that's in here? The truth that we learn. And what happens is people do not trust a media that just keeps pounding on Trump. There becomes a mistrust of the media, and that's what's happened to them. People do not trust them. Let's listen in.
Let me read part of what she has to say in that new book, which, as you point out, is not out yet. She says, she writes, the more anti-Trump the Times was perceived to be, the more it was mistrusted for being biased. Interesting take there.
Yeah, and I think this is a problem for a number of news organizations. You know, they see themselves as holding the president accountable. Obviously, they see themselves in operating in an environment in which the president is constantly denouncing them and sometimes using phrases that I don't agree with, like enemy of the American people. But to the extent that they are caught up in constant negativity, some stories are legitimate. Obviously, some reporters at the New York Times are fair and try to do a good job. But that is clearly the perception. It does hurt their credibility in ways I don't think they fully appreciate. And here you have Joel Abramson, you know, don't take it from me, take it from the former editor of the New York Times saying this is hurting.
It is. It is hurting. And we see it here in Montgomery. When you have particular reporters, Josh Moon was one of them, you knew that if he was writing a piece that was not kind of handed to him like the NPS story that he did, which was great, but basically somebody gave him that story. He didn't really ferret that out. But when he was still writing about things, you could feel his biasness coming out, and it was no longer a news story. It became an editorial opinion piece. Let's go to the phones and go to George. George, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, Dan. The topic you're talking about is something that's interesting to me. For about the last year or two, maybe since Trump got elected or went through the election, I have been trying to find an unbiased source of news. Now, I'm used to reading a newspaper every day, and I read the Montgomery Advertiser, but I've been looking for something that did not just harp on Trump all the time. So So far, what I have found is the BBC, the American feed of the BBC. And I get stories out of that that deal with things in America other than what Donald Trump said last. That's the kind of news I'm looking for. I don't care very much about Donald Trump. I do care about the American government, but I do care about other things in addition to that. And it's hard to find unbiased, non-pundit news these days. That's my problem.
George, you're spot on. Let me make another recommendation to you. The Daily Mail, I source a lot of things that come out of Europe, and particularly London and France. They are, and if it's economics, Germany does a good job with that. But
okay.
you'll read a story and you'll go, wow, this is a very balanced story. And they're not focusing, they're really doing a holistic viewpoint on it. The Daily Mail did one of the best things on the caravan and the migrants coming up here. They actually went in and embedded journalists in there and wrote it factually. The problem is that didn't help me out on this show very much because it's not audio texture. So I basically use that, though, in sources when I'm talking about things that are going on, such as the fact that there were, TB and things like that. The original article I got that from came from the Daily Mail.
Now, the Daily Mail, is that London or Manchester or where?
Yes, London, I believe.
Okay. Well, I'll give that a look, Dan. Thanks a lot. We continue to look for news that is just news and the truth. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I tell you something else for the entire audience, something that both Joey and I have on our phones, is that we use you can go to Google and you can do the trending stories, and you get to pick what stories and what outlets you want to have. Now, I do kind of a combination. I'll have a CNN, I'll have a People magazine, I'll have Huffington Post, I'll have Daily Mail, and I'm getting, a variety of cuts. So I can see when a story comes out, how are people doing it? Daily Mail will report it one way. Huffington Post will report it a completely different way. So it gives you a comparison of it. So that's always a good way of doing it. But that's something I'm constantly getting pop-ups from my sources there. It's a good thing to have on your iPhone, but Android has it also. Newstalk 93.1. Dan Moore Show, we'll be back right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Races, but she's homeward bound. And now she walks kind of funny. I think she knows day by day by day.
In our time, the Joey Clark Radio Hour, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Advertising drives the local economy. If you own a business, radio advertising shows your investment into the success of your business while keeping you competitive. Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help you grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Montgomery Area HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites. Looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Dave, Gene from corporate. You placed an ad on that huge national job site, and now HR has thousands of useless applications.
Well, Gene, you clearly said we want quantity, not quality.
That's exactly the opposite of what I said, Dave.
Oh, well, like my mother taught me, if at first you don't succeed, cut your losses and run. Bye!
Dave.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at MontgomeryAreaHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Live local talk. The River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Hopefully you guys are using this show as a source of your information. That's what somebody just texted me. Duke. Hey, Duke. Welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show, and Happy New Year to you.
Hey, Happy New Year to you. I guess I'll have to quote Chevy Chase. I think it's radio friendly. Jane, you ignorant slut.
I remember that point, counterpoint.
I was wanting to comment about Romney. It's amazing how the Republicans just devour themselves, and it just blows my mind that he would come out and start talking that kind of trash.
I know. I was kind of stunned, and this is in particular the fact that, you know, Trump went out there and campaigned for him. He endorsed him.
Right.
And then Romney poo-poos on him like that? And what he's trying to be is he's trying to be the conscience of the Senate. And I'll tell you something he's going to learn as a freshman senator isn't going to be very well respected by, you know, doing that kind of stuff. That does not get you to where you want to go. I think he thinks it does, but that doesn't get you where you want to go.
I'm glad that Trump kind of fought back with him, because a lot of people would just let it go. But anyway, it just kind of peed me off a little bit. But anyway, well, Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year to you, Duke.
All right, have a good evening.
You too. Yeah, that really did chat me when I saw that. Catherine Herridge is going to be doing a couple of pieces here. This is going to be a stop-and-go, Joey. Talking about Mueller, it's got some new key factors in here I want to share with you.
Documents, text messages, and congressional testimony reviewed by Fox News show 8 days in May 2017, right after the FBI director was fired, are a pivotal period. With no hard evidence of collusion, senior FBI and DOJ officials apparently pushed back against the White House.
He unfortunately had to fly back to Washington unexpectedly.
On May 9, 2017, then FBI Director James Comey left a Los Angeles recruiting event after learning on TV that President Trump fired him. The White House released a memo from Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein to justify Comey's termination. Quote, I cannot defend the director's handling of the conclusion of the investigation of Secretary Clinton's emails.
I told the president, Mr. President, with all due respect, you are making a big mistake.
Our Democratic colleagues complaining about the removal of an FBI director whom they themselves repeatedly and sharply criticized.
Media accounts later portrayed Rosenstein, just 2 weeks into his job overseeing the Russia probe, as badly shaken. With Comey out, Andrew McCabe took over as acting FBI director. Hours after the Comey news broke, then FBI agent Peter Strzok and FBI attorney Lisa Page texted, "We need to open the case we've been waiting on while Andy is acting. We need to lock in redacted in a formal chargeable way soon." While it's not clear what case Strzok and Page discussed, it's widely reported to be an obstruction case involving the president.
So does that redacted part say Trump? That's pretty damning.
Yeah.
Because that closes the, you know, we need an insurance policy. And so then it's the Mueller, because the Mueller investigation is an extension of the investigation that they Strzok, Page, Comey, McCabe have locked in on Trump and the campaign. It's just an extension of that. So that's some pretty serious news there. Let's carry on with Catherine Herridge.
The New York Times was first to report that on May 16th, Rosenstein met with McCabe, Page, among other department officials, where he allegedly discussed secretly recording the president and invoking the 25th Amendment. Rosenstein later denied the account, with an unnamed source claiming he was speaking in jest.
Mr. Baker, did you think that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein was serious about recording the president?
Page and McCabe consulted FBI General Counsel James Baker. In October, Baker told House investigators that Page and McCabe said Rosenstein was not joking.
It was the actions and it was the words of McCabe that led Baker to believe that this was very serious.
Also on May 16th, Robert Mueller, who was FBI director after 9/11, interviewed with President Trump to replace Comey. The following day, Rosenstein appointed Mueller as special counsel.
Everybody, even my enemies, have said there is no collusion.
Recent non-public testimony revealed that Russia collusion was still unproven when Mueller was appointed May 17th to continue the investigation, 10 months after the FBI initially opened the case.
Lisa Page's testimony, I can say, is consistent with a lot of other testimony.
And like Page, Comey said of the Russia case, quote, "When I was fired as director, I still didn't know whether there was anything to it."
May is the month in which they breathe new life into what was a dying accusation about collusion.
While it's not publicly known where the question of collusion stands, since May 2017, the Mueller team has either indicted, convicted, or gotten guilty pleas for more than 30 people, but none of these public cases allege coordination between the Russian government and the Trump campaign, Ed.
Interesting. Particularly the 8 days afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Andy is still acting. That unredacted, I would love to know what got redacted. What's the name on there? They got redacted. Folks, and this went out, and see, this was kind of a throwaway piece that actually happened on Monday night. And, it happened last night. And very few people have seen this. That's why I wanted to share it with you, because that has some... One thing I really like about Catherine Harris, she packs her stories with information, and she's constantly bringing things up that turn out to be spot on. News Talk 93.1 FM, this hour brought to you by Jack Ingram's Signature Used Cars. Buying a used car can be very tricky, but not at Jack Ingram's Signature Used Cars. Go by and see them. Tell Tip Thames, David Ingram, Lynn, Eric, Danielle, that you're a Dan Mora Show listener. Boys and girls, they do great service for you in the used car world. Give them a shot. Going to be back right after this.
The Dan Mora Show.
Broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
We know that local business drives the local economy. Without local business, there is no Montgomery. As a locally owned business, we at Blue Water work hard every day to support local business.
This is JR with Cat House Marine. We have been a longtime advertiser of Blue Water Broadcasting in Lubbock. They've been great at producing results and helping us build Cat House Marine's customer base and success in the River Region.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
News. I'm Rich Dennison. President Trump asked today whether he'd accept a lower amount of funding for his border wall to end the partial government shutdown.
The $5.6 billion approved by the House is such a small amount
compared to the level of the problem.
The president meeting with members of his cabinet at the White House. President Trump taking aim at Utah Senator-elect Mitt Romney on Twitter.
Writing, "I won big. He didn't. He should be happy for all Republicans. Be a team player and win." This after Romney admonished the president in a Washington Post op-ed, writing that he's not risen to the mantle of the office. The former presidential rival also wrote that a president should unite us and inspire us to follow our better angels.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. At least 6 people were killed, 16 injured when a Danish passenger train hit cargo from a passing freight train. It's Denmark's worst train accident in more than 3 decades. This is Fox News.
Hi, everybody. The threat of rain continues in the forecast for the next couple of days at least, but some light at the end of the tunnel is coming. Stand by. For today, cloudy, mild, risk for showers from time to time. Today and tonight, with a high today 67. Tonight's low 57. Then tomorrow, highs in the upper 60s again. Cloudy skies, showers likely. Then rain and thunderstorms likely Thursday night into Friday. That should be the last of a series of storm systems. Finally, with sunshine returning over the upcoming weekend for an extended period of nice weather lasting several days. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
At Sage Legacy Council, we help families by protecting the assets of loved ones in a nursing home or those in need of long-term care. Call 649-4911. That's 649-4911.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV. Hey.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Always get what you want. But if you try sometime, it's just my fine. 272-9228, this is where we are. Well, you want to get a kind of a feel of what the next 2 years are going to be like. Representative Nadler was on CBS this morning doing an interview. And I want you to listen to the tone here, because what you can tell, he's saying something that I don't think he really believes in. I think what he's doing is he's trying to say a line so you won't say that, you know, he's doing something wrong. And when we get down to impeachment and things like this. But Nadler's going to be talking about Trump and his immigration policy. Listen to this.
So we know that we are now in day 12 of the shutdown. What's the plan that the Democrats are going to present to the president?
Well, you know, the budget of the United States consists of 12 bills, 5 of which have been passed into law. There are 6 more that are totally agreed upon that the Senate passed almost unanimously. So our plan is to pass those 6 bills and send it back to the Senate and pass for the one remaining Department of Homeland Security, pass a continuing resolution to fund it through February 8th so there can be more negotiations. But this shutdown that President Trump has initiated proudly, he claimed it, is really blackmail of the American people, because he is feeling abandoned, has been abandoned, first by the voters, the historical 9 million majority for Democratic candidates for Congress a couple months ago. He's being abandoned by his own Secretary of Defense, by his Chief of Staff, by his former campaign manager.
Well, he was abandoned by his own party. He did control, the Republicans did control the House in the last. But let's talk about this.
But these are people who have left him, who are testifying against him. And whenever he feels beleaguered, he returns to his base. So what this shutdown is really is an extremist policy designed to appeal to an extremist base and hold the whole country hostage.
Did you hear the terminologies that he used? The extremist base, they turned on him, testifying against him. A lot of little buzzwords that Nadler was using there. These guys, and I tell you, you're going to get a feel for this, but these guys are going to be after him, and after him. So Nadler's now going to be talking about the wall, and listen to the bad numbers that he's going to give you.
So if you can separate those bills, have the Department of Homeland Security one, which will include the fight over, of course, the border wall funding, do you think that the president will sign that and this shutdown could be over for all those other agencies by Thursday?
Well, he certainly should. He has said in the last day or so, or I think his spokesman has said they wouldn't. But remember, the Senate, the Republican Senate, passed those six bills unanimously, or almost unanimously, a few weeks ago. We'll take the Senate bill, we'll pass it again, and hopefully they'll pass it, and the president should sign it, unless he simply wants to deliberately create an artificial shutdown of a good part of the government, in which this world controversy has nothing to do with, just in order to blackmail the American people.
Is there any budge on the Democrat side on a border wall?
Not really at this point.
That suggests there might be at another point.
I don't know that.
But the Department of Homeland Security.
The fact of the matter is, the border wall is a purposeless thing. We're certainly willing to talk about border security, and the fact of the matter is that people crossing the border are way down this year and last year than previous years. The challenge we have is not people crossing the border that way; it's people who want political asylum, and a wall can't help that because they want to walk up and present themselves to the first agent and say, "I want political asylum." So the wall has nothing to do with the problem that we have.
Well, it's keeping the people out from walking up and asking for asylum. They can go to a port of entry and ask for asylum, but that's not what the problem is. The problem is they ask for asylum, and then there's these set of rules that don't really apply to anything. They're not asking for asylum's sake. They're asking for asylum so they can stay here and do work and have a job and send money back home. The kid's mother who died tragically basically admitted that. She basically got into that part of it. So this is where, and they're not going to, a reporter is not going to challenge a known liberal on the facts like this. They're just going to let him say it and spew it. If that would have been a Republican and they would have reversed facts on that and talked about 25,000 people came over last month, they would have challenged that. They would have said something. They would have kind of poo-pooed it, or it was an unusual, it was artificial, or whatever. But they never challenge a progressive liberal person, particularly someone like Nadler, who's going to be in a very powerful position of being in charge of the Judicial Committee. So let me stay on with him and Trump and the immigration policy.
You've had a second child die at the border. It certainly has escalated the blame game. How do you fix that? Because that is really the crux of the problem here, these two sides not being able to sit down with one another.
Well, it's not a question of the two sides not being able to sit down. It's a question of inhuman policies being followed by the Trump administration to try to, as was said by several of their spokespeople, including former Chief of Staff Kelly, to deter people from coming to the border and claiming political asylum based on violence or whatever. In order to do that, we'll make them as miserable as possible. And unfortunately, that means that kids die. And we're certainly going to have hearings in the Judiciary Committee and subpoena witnesses and documents if necessary. We've asked for all relevant documents as to why kids are dying in custody of DHS, why families are being detained. What about the policy of family separation? You still have kids who haven't been returned to their parents after months. This is inhuman. And it's not precedented. It's a deliberate creation of the Trump administration, which is trying to make things as miserable as possible. And if kids die, they're apparently willing to have that.
That is amazing to me. He basically said that with these Zoomers, he's killing the kids. Versus these kids are showing up with the flu. I tell you, Joey, this is so disheartening. And we're back to motivating. What is the motive? Trump's motives, and they question his motives. And the end result is a kid dies because Trump's motives are bad. And does the media sit there? I mean, did she say, "Are you accusing the president of killing that he's responsible for those two kids?" That would have been a great question to ask.
Well, and I'm interested as we go into this new Congress. Divided government is annoying. It's not always the worst thing in the world, though, how the system should work. And I'm wondering, though, who benefits the most from the president and the Congress, including this Democratic House, actually getting things done? Because I suspect that would actually benefit the president more. If bills are passed, things get done. I don't know how much it actually benefits the Democrats if certain, it goes back to the whole triangulation, stupid word, but triangulation that Clinton did.
Mm-hmm.
Would Trump try to seek the middle in order to say, I'm getting things done, I'm a responsible executive? And will the Democrats instead hang their hat on opposition and things like impeachment and these sort of conversations? Well, I think it's going to be that.
Yeah, the interesting part is that in the Trump cannot say, because the media would not allow him to say, that I'm a middle-of-the-road kind of guy. Because whatever Trump does is always going to be in their narrative that he's crazy, he's out of control, he doesn't know what he's doing, he's ignorant. So anything that he says that is counter to that isn't going to be, they're just going to go back to those cards in the deck. And it really is a shame because, again, the problem with this is the media itself. Is the media is complicit here that if that were a Republican and they were talking about Barack Obama, they would nail them, absolutely nail them, and ask them some hard questions. They do not do that if it's Trump. Or what they do is they bring in a John McCain or at one point Lindsey Graham to get them to disagree with the president. They never bring in a stalwart in to actually talk about what is going to go, what's going to happen here.
Well, I suspect we'll see Mitt Romney on Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah. Mitt Romney's going to be the new John McCain.
Yep.
He's going to be the keeper of the flame of truth. And the only Republican that's proud enough to stand up and speak out. Okay, so now you're going to kind of get his hand here on impeachment and subpoenas. Listen into this.
Do you you have a long and very contentious history with this president? He once called you one of the most egregious hacks in contemporary politics.
I regard that as a badge of honor.
You are about to take over the Judiciary Committee, and you've said that impeachment hearings are something that you only resort to in the most extreme circumstances. In your view, what are those circumstances?
Really?
Well, impeachment is designed as a defense of the republic against a president who would aggrandize power, destroy liberty, destroy democratic institutions, destroy the separation of powers. If that happens, if you get real evidence of that, then you have to consider impeachment hearings. But we will wait and see what, and there's certainly a lot of allegations, but we'll have to wait and see what the Mueller investigation comes up with and other investigations are looking into it. But we're also going to be, for the last 2 years, the president has had no oversight and no accountability from Congress. The Republican Congress was completely derelict in its responsibility to provide oversight. We are going to provide that oversight. We're going to use the subpoena power if we have to. We will call in Mr. Whitaker, for instance. We'll have to protect the Mueller investigation and pass that legislation. We'll call in Mr. Whitaker, who's agreed to come in, although he can't seem to find a date. Yeah. And we'll subpoena him if necessary, and we'll ask questions about...
Is that job one for you when you take over the committee?
Well, it's one of two jobs. First job is to pass H.R. 1, which is the democratization bill to guarantee free elections, deal with gerrymandering, deal with campaign finance so people can't buy elections, so people feel the elections are proper and that they control them, not plutocrats.
You can see his, and the way he ticked those things off or the things that would be for impeachment are all things that he's been saying before and Democrats have been saying before.
Yes.
They just went down the checklist. That they're an impediment to democracy. Well, who determines that one?
Well, I guess we do. The people.
Yeah, good luck with that. Let's go to the phones and go to Gino. Gino, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for enjoying the show.
Thank you.
You sound like you cut the crud.
Well, thank you. No, I don't have the crud.
Well, anyway, thought I'd call and see if I can get on any kind of drawing you got.
We have the drawing for strychnine. Just kidding. We have the Sweet Creek Farm Market drawing. You want to get into that, Gino?
Absolutely. Yes, I sure do.
Give me your month and day of birth.
12/14.
How's everything over in Prattville?
We're great. We're good. Doing good. High and mighty.
Any good restaurants open up over there? New ones?
Say what?
Any new restaurants open up over there?
Matter of fact, I think Hooters is coming in pretty soon, but we don't know exactly where.
I'm not sure if my client would enjoy Hooters.
Well, I don't know where they're going. They applied for a permit a long time ago. But that's the only one I know about right now.
Well, maybe the Hooters there will do what the Hooters did here.
There you go. There you go. Hey, y'all have a blessed day.
Thanks, Gino. Appreciate you. Anybody want to make a recommendation for me for a place to dine in Prattville, I would appreciate that. We've got to meet somebody over there for a business-type meeting on Saturday.
Yeah, it seemed like Nadler and the Democrats will now, at least the Democrats who, you know, control committees and people like Pelosi and Schumer, they'll probably temper their language now. They can't be too oppositional. They're going to try to thread that needle.
Well, it's always going to be, we're looking, and we want to, it's not that he did, is that we're going to be looking. I mean, they're going to look into the Trump businesses like crazy. They think, Nadler has said this before, that there is a tie with Russia and in Saudi Arabia, and that's why he won't be harsh with either of them. And it really is a, it just plays itself out. It's terrible. Let's go to the phones and go to John. John, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show on a Wednesday.
How are you?
I'm good, John.
Hey, I heard you just ask a while ago about new restaurants in Prattville, and as a matter of fact, there is one that just opened up. It's they do sandwiches and you know, stuff like that. They're really good. It's called Kendrick Farm. It's on the Pine Level exit on 31 beside the Chevron.
Give me the name of it again, John.
It's Kendrick Farm.
Kendrick's Farm. Is that the one that looks like...
it kind of looks like a Cracker Barrel.
Well, or does it look like Sweet Creek Farm Market?
It does. Yes, it does. It looks like Sweet Creek Farm Market. They got similar sandwiches. Really good sandwiches, too.
Well, okay. Yeah, I'm going to stay away from that. I think they've copied Sweet Creek Farm Market. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. Somebody came in and told me that the layout is identical to Sweet Creek Farm Market.
No, it's not identical. I mean, there's a similarity, but it's not identical.
Well, identical is probably too strong a word, but the way the doors open, where you have the open air outside area, and then where the restaurant is, they said when you walk in there, it's exactly like Sweet Creek. John, thanks for the tip. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Let's go to Jason S. Jason S., welcome aboard the Demo Show.
Hey, good afternoon. Just wanted to give you a recommendation for Prattville.
Please.
The best eating in Prattville, in my opinion, would be Uncle Mick's downtown, in the downtown shopping center on the right. It is Cajun cuisine, and it's... when you go in, you will not pick something you don't like, because he'll give you a sample of anything you want to sample to make sure that you get something you like. Very friendly atmosphere, nice decor in there. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place.
Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, it's voted in the top three restaurants in the state of Alabama, too.
Wow. Well, give me the name again.
Uncle Mix.
Uncle Mix.
Yes.
You got it.
You come downtown, past the light, start getting into old downtown. It's on the right, about three or four shops down.
I got it. Just looked it up.
All right.
Thanks for the tip, Jason. I appreciate you, buddy. Let's go to Joel. Joel, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Thank you, Dan. Country Club out there now has Front Porch Grill. It was over in Millbrook. They still there, but they've opened up one at the Country Club, and you can get a meat free, or you can get like steaks and stuff like that too. And they got some excellent food.
Tell me where it is again. Is it in the Country Club?
It's in the Country Club itself, Prattville Country Club.
Can anybody go get into the Country Club, or do you need to be a member?
No, anybody can. It's like I said, it's a public restaurant now, so. They just moved in about a month or two ago. But
what's your favorite thing there?
I like to get a steak. I know over at Millbrook, ribeye is like $13 to $14 with steak and two sides and your tea. So,
give me the name of it again, please.
All I know is at the Prattville Country Club. It's run by Front Porch Grill. That's over in Millbrook.
Okay. I will take a look. I've got Front Porch Grill in my phone, but I'll take a look at it and give them a call.
Okay, but Uncle Mix, if you like Cajun food, Uncle Mix is good. Mickey Thompson owns that.
Yeah, it gets a high star rating on that. The only thing for me on Cajun food is too spicy. Cannot be too spicy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joel. I appreciate the tip. Wayne, hang on for me. Joel, if you want to say anything else or you want to get on drawing, just call back. Wayne, coming back to you. Dan Marshall will be back right after this.
Your news talk place to be, The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
He may not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hey there, I'm a dog. Now, I know we tend to eat things we probably shouldn't, but what you put in that food bowl really makes a difference. And dogs love it when you feed us Nutrina dog food from Prattville Farm Center. I love the taste and the energy it gives me, and you'll love it too, because it's made locally and won't hurt your wallet. Now I've got squirrels to chase. See ya.
See the full line of Nutrina products at Prattville Farm Center, 1154 South Memorial Drive, or call 365-5400.
We know that local business drives the local economy. Without local business, there is no Montgomery. As a locally owned business, we at Blue Water work hard every day to support local business.
Hi, this is Jeff Mallinson with Georgia Floors Direct, and I want to talk to you about Blue Water Broadcast and how they've helped my business spread the word. As every small business owner, I have to look at my advertising dollars carefully, and Blue Water Broadcast helps me get the most for every dollar I spend. I'm so glad to be a part of Blue Water Broadcasting and what they bring to Montgomery.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Ah, yes. 272-9228, that's where we are. Only 6 more minutes left in the show. Man, this thing has flown by. You know, before I go to Wayne, this section that Mr. Electric has got me written all over. Due to cold weather, winter weather, you may feel like you need to find additional ways to stay warm in the interest of keeping your family safe. Mr. Electric has some tips for you. This is what I do. I get a heater, put it under a blanket, because there's no need for me to heat. I have a 3,000 square foot house. If I'm there by myself, there's no need for me to heat the entire house. So I just use a space heater right where I sit and work. So keep anything flammable away from space heaters, including papers, drapes, pillows, and blankets. Always supervise children around space heaters. Space heaters can be a burn or shock hazard. Make sure the space heater plug is in good shape. A beaten-up plug or battered cord is a fire hazard. Never run cords underneath area rugs. This also can start a fire. Remember, if you experience flickering lights, tripping breakers, or something smells hot, you need to call Mr. Electric. They're ready to serve 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, on-spot emergency service. Get ready to copy 334-269-8886, 269-8886. Dan Black, my good friend, and Mr. Electric. Let's go to the phone, so let's go to Wayne. Wayne, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show on a Wednesday.
Happy New Year, fellas.
Hey, my friend, how are you?
Doing well. Coming out of the gate strong.
Did you have a good New Year's?
New Year was great. Did not do squat.
Which is something you're very good at doing.
did not get out on the road. Well, didn't have any desire to do that. Watched it come in from my back porch.
There you go. Yeah, I did the same thing. I went out only to see fireworks, which were a grand total of 3 blocks away from my house.
There you go. Hey, I would have to, I was going to tell you, Uncle Mick in Prattville also. Now, I will tell you, although it's Cajun, like the guy said earlier, they will let you try anything they've got on the menu. And there are some dishes that are not spicy and are tasty. So it would be... if you're going to Prattville to do it, it's a pretty unique and tasty experience, Ashley.
Excellent. And if I get a recommendation from you on that, plus the other recommendation, plus the 4.5-star reviews on it, then it's got to be good.
Might be worth trying, huh?
Yeah. Are there any other restaurants that you personally like that you would do a business meeting in?
Well, of course, in Prattville, it's hard to beat Midtown Pizza Kitchen. They're awfully good. And I want to say it's the Hilton Garden Inn. I don't know if that's what it's down off of. I can't remember the name of the Legends Parkway.
Yeah.
And it's next to a hotel. It's down out of the way. You really have to kind of go past two or three other hotels to get to it. But it's got a pretty nice restaurant in here, cocktail area, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've eaten at the Legends one time, and the food was actually pretty good. It was expensive, but it was good.
Exactly. Other than that, you've got your normal fare up there. But I think you'll like Uncle Mick. I know for a fact they've got stuff that's not real spicy. So I think you can find something you like there.
Wayne, I appreciate the tip. Appreciate your friendship. And I want you to have
Thank you. And I certainly want to get in, see if I can win that Sweet Creek basket.
Okay, you got it. Give me month and day of birth, Wayne.
626.
626. I appreciate you, my friend.
Hey, you guys have a great day and a great year to start with, all right?
Will do.
Okay, guys. Bye now.
Have a good one. Don't forget about Don Duncan All-American Tire. They took great care of me. I had... a Monday morning, I called down there and said, look, my lights just came on in my car, saying I need an oil change. I say I have 2,000 miles late on it. Can I drop in and if you're not busy, can you get it taken care of? They got it done. They got Wi-Fi down there. Don comes out and goes, well, you want some coffee? You want us to go get some donuts? Or they are the greatest folks that are Don Duncan, All-American Tire, and Auto. Do we have a second part of that?
We're kind of out of time.
Yeah, we are out of time, but we'll save that for tomorrow. We also save the nuns abuse thing for tomorrow. That's an interesting topic. Joey, I want to thank you for a great show.
Good show today.
Guys, be good. Be safe. Be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock, and I keep doing this until I get it right. Greg Bedell the Great, he's next. Adios.